Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast.
Hi there, ladies and gents, and welcome to this episode of the Sophisticated Property Investment Podcast with me, your host, Frank Flegg. Now, in this episode, I'm going to be describing how every day is a school day, really. I am going to be describing my most recent deal. We instructed solicitors 3 days ago. I very nearly lost the entire deal. Very, very nearly lost the entire deal. It is because I didn't follow my own procedures, my own systems. And I think it's a warning to all of us that it doesn't matter how experienced we are, it doesn't matter how good we are. If you don't follow a system, you're going to get inconsistent results. And the irony is, I've got a system, I believe in it. I just didn't follow it. So let me take you back to the start of my relationship with this vendor. Lovely vendor. Not the vendor's fault. This is really important. This is 100% my fault. This vendor found me because of a collaboration. So I have been collaborating with people that have databases of landlords. And so this came from one of those strategic alliances. I teach strategic alliances a lot. It's a very, very efficient marketing strategy because it doesn't cost any money up front. Usually you'll only pay based on results, which is great. And that's the case here. And so the first I knew of this vendor was they responded to my strategic alliance partner who had sent out my email. So they are sending out my email to their landlords, and this landlord responded. He's one of 29 respondents in the last month to this particular email from this particular strategic alliance partner. And so if you're thinking these are only in small numbers, not at all. These are 29 leads for free from motivated landlords in 1 month. That's pretty, quite a large number. And so I received the email from the partner saying this landlord would like to have a conversation. A member of my team picked up the phone, did follow the system. So the member of my team has followed the system. It was only me that deviated, I hasten to add. Conducted the telephone fact find. So they had a really good conversation with them and established that, yes, they were in the market to sell their property in a sophisticated manner, i.e. established that they were motivated to sell. Having done the telephone fact find, because this is a national partner, so it's not a local partner, so they have a database of landlords nationally. The system is that my team member books an online help visit, so a Zoom call with the landlord, which isn't as crazy as it sounds. So regular listeners will know that ordinarily we go out to the vendor's house and we have a cup of tea on their sofa and conduct our hour-long help visit. The difficulty with that is when it's a landlord, it's not their house. So you can't sit in a rented house on the sofa for an hour because the tenant might not like you in their home for an hour on their sofa. And so ordinarily you have quite a quick walk around in a landlord help visit, and then you will go to a Starbucks or a Costa Coffee and you will conduct your help visit there. So conducting an online help visit is not crazy. I've done them before. It's certainly a lot harder, much harder to build rapport, etc. But it makes it easier for overseas landlords and is quite essential in those situations. And this was an overseas landlord, actually, coincidentally. UK landlord, but lives overseas. So we had our online help visit. It was approximately half an hour, which isn't bad. It's very hard to do an hour on Zoom. And so half an hour. And in that time, I did as much rapport building as I could, but it is much harder. You can't see the person's body language as well. You can't hear their tonality as well because Zoom compresses the voice. People don't realize this, but one of the biggest reasons you can't communicate as effectively over the phone and on video calls is because you don't pick up the micro gestures in someone's face and you don't hear the full depth of their voice. But I did my best, explained that we could buy swiftly below market value, or that we could pay a higher amount over time. Now, the property was in the north of England, in an area that I don't expect to see a lot of capital growth over the coming years. And that's important, because when you're doing sophisticated deals, you have to factor in what you think the property's going to do. Now, this property's in good condition. I'd say if I baseline my portfolio at a 5 out of 10, I would say this property is probably an 8. It's in significantly better condition than the majority of my portfolio. Quite low value because of where it's situated. £60,000 market value. But because of that low valuation, the gross yield is high. So we're achieving £450 a month on rent, which is high for a £60,000 property. And the offer I made after chatting to the landlord just wants shot of this property, fed up with the hassles. The offer that I made to the landlord was a fairly simple one. But the interesting thing is, I've described it to a few people since, and people have been really surprised by it. So the landlord wants shot of the property now. They want nothing more to do with it. They're tired of it. They live overseas. They don't want anything to do with it. It's managed by an agent, but sounds like the tenant is a little demanding. And so I'm thinking that we need to have a conversation with the tenant, establish the ground rules of being a landlord, ground rules of being a tenant, perhaps raise the rent slightly in line with market rents, and I think we'll be good. But the landlord doesn't want to do any of that, just wants their money back, really. And so ideally, from the landlord's perspective, we'd buy this on a below market value purchase now. So ordinarily we'd pay 75% of 60,000, which is £45,000. Small numbers, but the principle is the same. And when you're doing lots of properties, they all start to add up. However, because it's such a low value property, that 25% discount is not a big discount when you consider stamp duty and solicitor's fees, etc. There's not a lot of equity left over. And so I thought to myself, how, and this is in the help visit, how can I make this deal a bit sweeter for us? And so what I decided to offer was a combination of strategies, which is often the best way. And regular listeners over the years will know that we're often combining strategies. And so the combination was a below market value price, 75%, with a control now, pay later strategy. And that gave me more reassurance, because it gives me longer for capital growth to kick in, and it gives me more profit. Well, I agreed with the vendor that they would provide 100% vendor finance. It's an unencumbered property, no mortgage on it. I agreed that they would take first charge and that they would lend £45,000 interest bearing, and I offered them £200 a month interest. Now, if it's let for £450, that's going to net me £150 to £200 a month, I would expect, because obviously I'm looking to put the rent up. £200 a month for 5 years. I agreed a 5-year fixed rate mortgage. So if it makes me £200 a month for 5 years, that's 60 months, it's £12,000. So now, if I put that £12,000 in my pocket, now in 5 years' time, the property's only costing me £33,000, and today it's worth £60,000. That's a decent deal. I like that deal. The landlord, and people often ask in vendor finance situations, why does the landlord do the deal? Why would the landlord do this? Well, the first reason is the landlord wants all of the headache, all of the responsibility of the property to be done and gone. The second reason is if I paid him the £45,000 now in cash, all he would do is put it in the bank. And so when I talked about vendor finance, and I didn't call it that, I called it him becoming the mortgage lender, him becoming the bank. And what I said was, if all I'm going to do is borrow the money from the bank and give it to you, and all you're going to do is go put it back in the same bank, well, the amount they're going to give you is going to be less than the amount I give them, because they're going to make their margin. So how about we just cut out the bank, and instead of me borrowing it from them, I borrow it from you? In both scenarios, he doesn't end up with any money in his pocket. In both scenarios, the bank doesn't actually lend any money because they get it back. So the net effect is no money moves hands. Well, that's the same as we've got with vendor finance. And you might want to pause there and go back 30 seconds, depending on which podcast software you're using. But that is such a simple idea that's very hard for some people to get their head around. Banks don't have a massive pot of cash. All they are doing at any one time is borrowing money and lending it out. And so his question was, well, how much can you pay me in interest? And I said I could give you £200 a month. And he got his calculator out, and he worked out that on £45,000 loan, that's a 5.3% return. And he said, well, I can't get better than 5% at the moment. So yeah, that works for me. We virtually shook hands, and I do this little shake hands to the camera. And I explained that my team member would be in touch and we'd be instructing solicitors. And that was my mistake. The health visit was pretty good until that point. What I didn't do, which you should always do on a control now, pay later transaction, is write ahead of terms. And it was because I had several health visits that day. I was a bit pushed for time. The guy was really amenable, quite sophisticated. And I just figured, yeah, we've got an agreement, it'll be fine. But it wasn't. We instructed solicitors. And whether his solicitor got in his ear, which may well have happened, he came back a few days later, this is 2 weeks ago or so, and said, no, I'm not doing the deal. You've not got any skin in the game. I'm happy to provide the finance, but I want you to put a 25% deposit in. So my team member came back to me and said, I think we've got a problem, Frank. He wants us to put 25% of £45,000 in.
You're listening to the Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast with Frank Fleck. If you enjoy this content, why not follow Frank's TikTok, where you'll get loads of bite-sized investing tips. Just search TikTok for Frank Flegg. That's Frank, FLEGG.
So he was happy to do a purchase price of 45. He was happy with 45, but he wasn't happy with me putting no money in. And so what I realized I should have done is at that point in the help visit where we reached agreement, and I've done this before, it's part of the system, is I should have pulled up a Word document, shared my screen, and typed the heads of terms together. And that would have solidified the offer, would have made it really clear we weren't putting a deposit in, and his solicitors would have seen those agreed heads of terms from the get-go. As it happens, I didn't. Every day's a school day. I stuffed up, didn't follow my own system, and I found myself in a situation where, having had a pretty nice deal agreed, nice for me, nice for the vendor, found myself without a deal. And this is where people would resort to emails and start explaining and trying to sell via email. You cannot sell via email. So I said, look, how can we have a telephone call? There was 7 hours time difference between where he was living at the time and where I was living. So we had to have a call quite early in the day so that it wasn't too late at night for him. We had a 10-minute call, and I just explained. And by the way, this is never the vendor's fault. The vendor's job is to get the best possible deal for themselves. That's their job. Our job is to find the win-win solution and make sure it remains a win-win solution throughout. And in that telephone call, which is where you earn the big bucks as a negotiator, I outlined his position as I understood it. And I was very, very clear. I said, my understanding is you're happy to sell at 45,000. You're happy that the loan is at 5.3%. Recognize that I'm going to have responsibility for the property. I'm going to be responsible for maintaining it. I'll be responsible for setting the rent, collecting the rent, etc. You'll have a first charge on the property. You'll basically be the bank. He said, yeah, I understand all of that. I believe your concern is that I haven't got any skin in the game. You're asking that I put a 25% deposit down. He said, yes, I am. I said, great. Well, thank you for explaining that so clearly to my team member. Is it okay if I'm to the point in answering your question? And he said, yeah, that'd be great, Frank. And I always find it helpful to ask permission, because then you're not really asking permission. You know they're going to say yes, but what you are doing is preparing them psychologically for a no. And so what I said was, my business model doesn't allow me to put 25% in. The way that, in order to be able to buy multiple properties a month, and I think I mentioned we're buying 100 this year to you on Zoom, that is only possible because we don't put large sums of money into each property. So we're not going to be able to give you 25% deposit. And if that means we can't do a deal, that's okay. I really would like to do the deal. I'd like to take the property off your hands. I'd like to pay you £45,000 for it. But if we can't reach a deal, then that's okay. And there's a lot psychologically going on there. And by the way, at the same time, I'm kicking myself for not having done a heads of terms, which would have avoided this really tricky sale. But now I'm preparing him. I'm basically taking the deal away. I'm saying, look, if you don't say yes to what I'm about to say, we haven't got a deal, and I'm walking out. But I'm not saying it in an aggressive way. I'm saying it very, very calmly and very, very amicably. And it's true, by the way. Amicably, I would walk away. And so what I said was, you have first charge on the property. If we miss a payment and you don't receive your £200 any month, on any given month, you can repossess us. And the worst case scenario is you get the property back, but you've had interest in the interim. So fundamentally, the worst that can happen here is you get your own property back. Additional to that, I'm willing to give a personal guarantee for the entire loan amount. So if we default on the loan, and I made the point, this is a really small loan. You know, in the deals that we're doing, a £45,000 loan is neither here nor there. And I wanted him to realize that, you know, this is not a big deal for us at all. And what I said was, in the highly unlikely event that we default on this loan, not only do you get the property, but if you chose to pop that in auction and it only sold for £40,000, you have my personal guarantee drawn up by the lawyers for any of your costs and any of the shortfall. You've actually got my entire portfolio on the line. That's the skin in the game. And by the way, he's not worried about me putting skin in the game. He's worried about him being protected. That's the main concern. And I said, I can't put 25% down, but I can put some money up front. I could do £1,000 up front, for example, just, you know, so if we're short, if for some reason, you know, something goes wrong with the bookkeepers and we pay you a bit late, 1 month, you're £200, you've got £1,000 in the bank. He's a considered gentleman. And he said, can I think about it overnight? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Can we agree, though, that we will either go ahead or we won't tomorrow? And he said, yes, absolutely. He came back to me about 9 p.m. the next day. So clearly he had to think about it carefully. And he came back and he listed all of the reasons for my skin being in the game. He said, on the basis that you're willing to put a £1,000 deposit down, which, by the way, is less than 2% deposit. So he's, well, 2% on the property value, just over 2% of the purchase price. So he's given me a 98% loan-to-value mortgage. On the basis that you're putting a £1,000 deposit down, he's paying his own legals, by the way, that was agreed. On the basis that you're paying a £1,000 deposit, 5.3% interest for 5 years fixed, giving me a personal guarantee and first charge on the property, I'm happy to proceed. And I said, fantastic. We'll get the memorandum of sale written up to reflect that. We'll bounce that off you and then we'll share it with the lawyers. And by the way, the memorandum of sale is the same as the heads of terms that we should have written at the start. He's happy with the memorandum of sale, and now solicitors are instructed and we're rocking and rolling. And it's as simple as that. Really nice deal. We will own a £60,000 property for stamp duty of on 45 is 3%. So that's £1,350. So we're paying £1,350 in stamp duty and legals of probably £2,000, maybe a bit less. We're probably all in for just over £3,000. Legals, disbursement, stamp duty for a £60,000 property. And most people think that's crazy. Oh, we've got £1,000 deposit, so just over £4,000. But we only owe £44,000 on it. So on day one, we've put £4,000 in, just over, and we've got £16,000 equity on day one. That's a quadrupling of my net worth. on that deal. So you put £4,000 in and your net worth jumps up by four times that amount. If every time you invested some money in a property, you quadrupled your net worth, you quadrupled that amount of money, you do it as often as you could, right? And this is so much better than a traditional investment. A traditional investment, you pay 100 grand for a 100 grand house, you put £25,000 deposit down, you pay £3,000 stamp duty, £2,000 legals, you pay £30,000, but your net worth has gone up by 25. Your net worth has actually shrunk when you do a traditional property investment. And people don't realize this. And this is why when you describe a BMV transaction where the vendor lends you 98% of the purchase price, people can't get their head around it. When I say that you can get a 50 to a 100% return on investment each year, people shake their head at me because they're only getting 2% or 5% per year or 8% per year. But in this instance, on day one, you've got a 400% return, plus it's going to make me 200 odd pounds a month. Well, 200 pounds a month is 2,400 pounds. If I've only put 4,000 and a bit in, that's a more than 50% return every year, cash on cash. So I'm going to have all my money back within 2 years, and I've got £16,000 equity. Now, the numbers are small, but the percentages are huge. If I've borrowed that money, which I have, that £4,000, because I'm buying 100 properties this year with a JV partner, we've borrowed the money to do all the deals, the transaction costs, the stamp duty, the money down, etc., for the vendor skin in the game if needs be. That money is all borrowed at, I think I'm right in saying, 8% interest rate. So now I'm earning 400% interest, but I'm only paying 8%. Cash on cash, I'm earning over 50%, but I'm only paying 8%. So now I'm making an infinite amount of money and I can do an infinite number of deals. And by the way, this marketing didn't cost me any money. I only pay based on results. And so having said it was how I nearly stuffed this deal up, what I'm pleased to report is that I did manage to rescue it, and it's actually quite a nice deal. Not big, but nicely structured. There's an elegance to it that I like. There's an efficiency to it that I like. And the interesting thing is the vendor has said there's a second property that they're interested in considering selling. So what that means to me is we're on probation. If we get this one done and it goes well, then they'll do the other one. Ladies and gents, I hope that little foray into me making mistakes by not following my own system is of interest to you. I hope it's encouraged you to do your own sophisticated deals and inspires you to take action. Until next time, happy investing.
Sophisticated Property Investing. Make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing now.